the rationale behind this launching of the campaign. As you may know, in July, during the summit, where we were in the peak of another conflict in South Sudan, why we thought that the signing and the coming of the former vice president to South Sudan solves some kind of the problem that we saw in South Sudan. So everybody was excited that we will get peace. But we start listening on violent conflict again, but where the civilian and in particular women have been exposed again. And women came to the summit in Kigali, the African Union Summit, and launched an appeal. And not just the South Sudanese, but the whole women's movement, during the meeting, call on the chairperson to echo their voices. Because as they say, it is difficult for them to do it from South Sudan themselves. But they wanted the whole African women's movement to support their appeal for peace and security and stability. So that's the rationale. And the chairperson, of course, requested that we launch this campaign to ask all the community, the stakeholders, including the official, but also international community, whoever can support to restore the dignity of women in South Sudan. So that's why we launched this campaign, and my office, the special envoy of the chairperson, is leading this process.
Okay. So how significant is this campaign, and what does the AU hope to achieve at the end of the day?
You know, what we wanted is to continue that what we request. You know, AU have been part of looking into the South Sudan to bring peace, either it is by mediation, but also by investigating. Myself as the special envoy of the chairperson, I was part of the Obasanjo report as one of the commissioners to investigate what was happening. We saw that the women of South Sudan, even within that report that is public, their body have been used and misused, as the chairperson have said. But it's time for us to stop it, to stop this kind of violence. South Sudan have launched a plan of action, which is 1325 plan of action, which talk about protection of women, their participation in the peace process, but also in the governance mechanism, and the fact that everybody have to prevent this from happening. But what we saw is not happening. The people on the ground that are fighting, whatever parties they come from, have been using and misusing the South Sudanese wherever they come from. So it's time for us to stop it. And that's why we are calling, the chairperson call on Africans, but in particular the South Sudanese, to stop this violence. So we intend to continue campaign and put pressure, advocate for the women, those who cannot speak, but also at the end of the day, coming to South Sudan, if we can come to South Sudan and put the issue at the table of everybody in South Sudan, that we need to discuss, we need to make sure that women are put at front of reconciliation, but also we protect them.
Looking at this campaign to restore the dignity of women, it looks like a women-led thing. Who else is involved in the campaign, and how do you hope to make it more visible even to the wider world?
We think that it is not just the women thing, and we are interviewing men as well. Mm-hmm. As you know, the chairperson of the AU is a woman, and it's a great that within the commission, we have the chairperson to drive the force of this. We are also interviewing those men that we call the he for she, those that care for South Sudanese women, but also the women in general in conflict. It's not only the issue is not only in South Sudan, but elsewhere. But we count on media and reporters. You know, last week we brought 25 reporters, media reporters, in Addis Ababa, where we had training for them to really echo the voice of the women in South Sudan, but elsewhere as well, to be, you know, a peace reporter for supporting my mandate as special envoy on women, peace and security. And those are African, coming from countries that are affected by conflict, but also countries that want to prevent conflict. So these 25 women and men attended the open debate in the Peace and Security Council. We invited them, and they were able to interact with Peace and Security Council. And there was also a lady from a reporter from South Sudan who made a statement on the situation as well on the country of South Sudan. So we don't want to expose women of South Sudan because it's a very delicate situation. Why they are asking us to echo their voice, and that's my role, to echo the voice of women affected by country. When you are in such a situation, it's very difficult to raise your voice in the middle of a conflict. But we can do it. We can work with them. We know that they are brave women. We know that they are building their network. We know that also, as I understood, the Minister of Gender in South Sudan is leading the 1325 plan of action, which we wanted to see implemented. We see some efforts coming in, as we were told by the minister. But we are going to continue this campaign by those 25 reporters, but others. We want also to ask the leaders of Africa to join the campaign on stopping this violence against women, wherever it is happening, led by Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, the chairperson of the African Union.
Yes. What do you see as the principal challenges facing efforts to break the cycle of impunity related to sexual and even gender-based violence?
We wanted to that the women to document their stories. And I think it is UN is helping on that, and all the actors on the ground, civil society, NGOs. As I said, the report that we did with the President Obasanjo, we document some of those atrocities. But we wanted to see the hybrid court, which will be put in place to address it. Because what I hear from the field is the women keep saying, you know, it's maybe when we don't address these kind of issues that conflict relapses. So we don't want conflict to come back to South Sudan. We want to get the peace to be restored, and we wanted the women to come up and be reconstructive. And we want to see that we address the psychological support or whatever we need to do. But we think that we need to help the women so they can come up front and they be in the part of transformation. And that's why we think that all of us can join forces, including the international community, who will help this new structure, governance structure of South Sudan. So we need to also alert them that this issue of gender-based violence be part of it in the reconciliation. And women can come up front, as we say, the reconstruct. When I visited South Sudan many times, I see them starting to discuss where they are in the camps, in the church, starting to talk about reconciliation. They can be the driving force as well with the religious leaders and others because, you know, they are cross-ethnic, as I could see it, they are marrying and having 12 children from one ethnic to another ethnic. And they used to be together, live together. But instead of seeing them as victims, we need to restore and bring them as leaders, as the one who can reconstruct. We have seen that in Rwanda. We have seen it in Liberia. So it's time now that we don't just continue to, violate their rights, but we start looking into how they can lead the process of reconciliation. So that's why this campaign is about. We might not take every single South Sudanese to court, but we need to start somewhere, somehow, but also give environment to the women for them to be able to reconcile and rebuild their society. We need South Sudan. We need South Sudan to be back to normal, all of us as Africans. So that's why we really think that restoring the dignity of the women will help to restore South Sudan and bring South Sudan in peace.
Yeah, what is the most important lesson? You have been in this area for some time, so I want to know, what is the most important lesson you have learned over the years related to sexual violence in conflict areas?
I mean, as we always say that, it being used as a tactic of war, and we are saying that even on South Sudan, we have seen that the men know that the women, how they are valued in their community, because the women are the one that reconstruct in any community, and they represent 50%. But because we use it as a tactic of war, as a strategy of war, we keep seeing it every time. Even though we campaign, even though it become really part, it's not just for Africa, it's also happened elsewhere, in Bosnia, in whatever war, the men are using the body of the women. But we need to say also to stop it. And in order to stop it, we need also to get those that are holding the arms, the guns. But on top of it, we need to prevent. We keep saying, even to the Peace and Security Council, let's put our efforts on prevention. Because if we prevent, and in prevention also, I say that let's make sure that what the root cause of those conflict, which is discrimination, which is putting one side, either it is ethnic group, but the women are doubly discriminated. So we need to bring women leadership in front. And because when you see even women participating in governance or even in peace negotiation, what you realize that they bring their agenda, which is more a human security agenda, right, rather than, sharing just the power and not sharing responsibility. So we need to bring those that have been left behind, the women and the youth, up front for them to be able not just to share the power, but sharing responsibility. To build the schools in South Sudan. I have been in remote areas in South Sudan, believe me. I visited the 10th state of South Sudan. But when you go deep there, you see the poverty. You have seen the issue that, women in the camps left there without food, without security, spending their time to go and looking for firewood or even, their basic needs are not met. So we need to address the governance by bringing women up front, but also by looking, no sharing of power only, but making sure that we share responsibility for any country. That for me, if those agreements that we sign doesn't bring this issue and doesn't condemn also violence as a crime against humanity, we will never get where we wanted to go. But again, I'm saying the Africans have to take the responsibility of this. Of course, we have our friends that are supportive, but we have all to stand, including the men, because they are the ones that are perpetrating this violence. And this is the men that are putting it as a strategy of war. It's a strategy, you know. So we need to bring them up front. By doing that, of course, there are those who are just executing, and there are those that are leaders in this. And we need to look at those responsibilities and make sure that we bring them to justice while we are reconciling.
Mm.
So we need to have the justice. We always say, let's negotiate and build peace on the body of the women. But it can't continue. And that's why the violence will perpetrate. So the whole issue is, yes, let's reconcile, but let's stop it by putting some people who are responsible and be accountable. And that's what we are asking for.
Yeah. So what for you are the most critical needs in the context of South Sudan? What for you are the most critical needs for the women in the country, for the women in South Sudan, who have either suffered sexual violence or risked the dangers of sexual violence or gender-based violence?
I think they have been asking it themselves. For that one, I think their agenda is very clear. It's not me asking for them, but they are the one asking for themselves. You know, at least that they have their voice to say, yes, we want peace, we want justice, we wanted a country. That's what I hear for them, from them when I was meeting with them. Stop the violence, but we want to, that in this restoring the dignity, we want the peace. We wanted an environment that is peaceful, that we can go out, go back to our houses, and they wanted the leaders, those leaders that are fighting, to come and sit and discuss and give them peace. Because those are the ones, the women don't have the guns. The women I met in all over South Sudan, they don't hold the guns there where they are sitting. I don't see it from them. You know, so people have to sit and bring and silence the gun. You know, the African Union have said 2020 we will be silencing the gun. The women are even saying, don't just silence them in 2020. Silence them now. But we don't just say, don't silence the gun only, but remove the gun. So the women are tired with seeing the guns around them, which is what the men use to make sure that, you know, they control the women themselves. So, as I said, restore the dignity is what they're asking themselves. They are able to come and reconcile. They are the one who told me many times, and all of us, that they can go back if they provide them space to discuss, to mourn their death, but also to, you know, not forget, but forgive, certainly. They have their traditional way, and they mention the church. We can go to the church and so on. But again, there are somewhere, somehow, where accountability should happen. And they are the one who are, because I'm not the one telling that this is what South Sudan, we wanted to see South. They are the one. They are just echoing their voices, what we hear from them.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your hopes for the women of South Sudan over the coming years?
Oh, to come back and, you know, and we will be there hopefully in December during the 19th day of activism, where we will be meeting with different officials to see, you know, the campaign have produced during this coming 1 month and half. And meet with the women themselves, support them, see them that they can tomorrow or even now own their land, go back to the agriculture sector. Having the economic empowerment, we all know, building their industries. We wanted to see them, you know, like in each corner of Africa, in the development phase of Africa, that they will be key actors. But we don't want to see them continuing to be the victim that we see, but actor of change. So, yeah, we will come to South Sudan in December. Hopefully, we will be meeting with various actors. And by then, we hope that everybody will be conscious, including the different actors including the government, including those that are fighting in opposition parties and so on, and the young boys that are being used as well in this war, that they will understand our appeal, but also to make sure that the women engage and they are not scared anymore. We want them to speak loud, to say that we don't want this anymore, but we wanted to see ourselves, our children, and the resource of South Sudan be put in schools, in health centers for them, you know. But right now, the women of South Sudan keep suffering wherever they are in South Sudan. And the men are the ones that hold the gun, and they should silence those guns.
Okay. Any other message you would like to deliver to the women?
You know, we will continue to stand next in solidarity, as Madam Lamine Zuma said. We are in solidarity. We will continue to put pressure and the leadership of wherever they are, AU, IGAD, wherever they are, on our side. We will continue to shout so they know that we are with them, and we will do our utmost best as women and to make sure that their voices have been heard and action have been taken. As they said, there are too many agreements that have been signed. But at the end of the day, is the implementation. They want things to be implemented. They wanted to see those who have been fighting to, you know, silence the guns and end the conflicts and give peace to the people of South Sudan. They are all South Sudanese. Wherever tribe they come from, what they want is the security and stability and the peaceful resolution of those conflicts and accountability. We continue to say accountability as well have to happen. So thank you for your giving us the opportunity to echo our voice to the women.
Thank you.
That cannot be heard.
Thank you so much, Ms. Benita, for speaking to Radio Miraya so elaborately on this topic. We do appreciate your time that you took off to speak to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.